19 years ago this month, two guys pulled off one of the biggest heists in history.
It's 1:48 a.m. A street lamp sprawls a rectangle of yellow light across the floor of the room. And in the artificial twilight, the thieves move toward the south wall.
Dressed in fake police uniforms, the thieves walked right into Boston's turn-of-the-century Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
They hoped to seize the large Rembrandts first, but as they stepped toward the artworks, a piercing alarm sounds, ringing loudly in the empty room.
One of the thieves kicks the alarm in, and an hour later, they walk out of the museum with art worth hundreds of millions of dollars. To this day, the FBI is still looking for the crooks and the stolen masterpieces, which include five Degas, three Rembrandts, and a Vermeer. Reporter Ulrich Boser says that he's pretty sure he's cracked the case. His new book is called The Gardner Heist, the true story of the world's largest unsolved art theft.
The intruders step in front of the silk-draped south wall, moving in front of their target, Rembrandt's The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. The painting presents a dramatic interpretation of a famous biblical tale. Jesus and his apostles fighting a savage thunderstorm, their small, unsteady boat cresting a massive breaker. It is the Dutch master's only seascape. But the thieves don't seem to know this, or they don't care. They haul the work down from the wall and smash the painting out of its frame. Then one of the thieves pulls out a blade and knifes the canvas. He cuts along the edge, slicing the painting from its stretcher, leaving behind stitches of canvas and flakes of paint.
That is Ulrich Boser reading from his new book, The Gardner Heist, about this amazing brazen theft of masterpieces from the Gardner Museum in Boston. Was the Gardner's security especially bad?
Their security at that particular time was not very good. I mean, they were as, you know, secure as like an open-air flea market. They had two security guards, one of whom later admitted to smoking marijuana before he got on the job. And they had some motion detectors and a panic button. I mean, that was really about it.
For the listeners who haven't been to the Gardner Museum, I mean, that goes on a certain level with what the Gardner has always been, which is this kind of very old school, old fashioned, quirky, charming museum. So the fact that they didn't have super high tech security systems, I guess, isn't entirely surprising.
But on the same side, you know, the thieves themselves are not, you know, the Pierce Brosnans. They're not the Cary Grants of the world. These guys don't wear baklavas. They don't wear black turtlenecks. You know, for the most part, these guys are run-of-the-mill criminals. They're aging drug dealers and out-of-work bank robbers. And they steal art simply because it's valuable.
How do you think you found who the culprits are, and give us a sense of who they are?
Sure. I mean, as part of my research, I found a lot of evidence that a gangster named David Turner was one of the thieves. He's a very dangerous individual. I think he will go down in Boston history alongside someone like Whitey Bulger. Investigators believe that he helped run a $1 million cocaine ring. Investigators believe that he killed as many as a half a dozen people. And I uncovered a new eyewitness in the book. I call him Jerry. And he gave a very specific description of one thief in particular, saying he had Asian eyes. And David Turner has this attribute. I also uncovered FBI documents that show how David Turner's underworld crime boss, Carmelo Merlino, twice tried to return the art. And so I went to David Turner and I said, listen, here's a lot of evidence of your involvement. And he denies having any role in the heist, but then he also told me that I should put his picture on the cover of my book. I think that he was boasting in a way.
And is he a guy living in Boston just going about his organized crime figure life? What does he do?
Right now, he's actually in prison for armed robbery. He's serving a 38-year term.
Now, the thing about art heists is this is not cash, and these are not easily fenceable commodities. If you're going to go in and steal Rembrandts and Degas and these masterpieces, you must have a plan for how you're going to dispose of them and get cash, yeah?
I think thieves think that there is some Dr. No. That's the name of this theory. There's a guy who lives in a mansion and he wears a tuxedo and he has a snifter. And basically that person doesn't exist. But I don't think people have told enough of the thieves that this person doesn't exist. So they will steal, you know, a Van Gogh or a Manet and think that they can, you know, sell this work further on. But ultimately what you see is a lot of these pieces simply disappearing into the art underworld. You also see works, you know, being occasionally returned for political favors. Sometimes you're seeing them being traded for guns and drugs. But often they just sort of languish in a basement, in an attic, until they're eventually recovered or just simply found.
they keep these empty frames on the walls of the museum, which is an amazing thing to see when you visit. How do they feel about your book?
The museum says, you know, this is a theory, like many theories out there about, you know, who was involved. I think, like everyone, you know, they're interested in getting the paintings back. And so perhaps who stole them is not as important a question as who's sitting on these artworks today. Because there is this $5 million reward. That's the largest reward ever offered by a private institution. In fact, the only reward that's larger than that is the one for Osama bin Laden.
Well, given the $5 million reward, why doesn't one of these guys, why doesn't somebody say, hey, we can get $5 million? I mean, why hasn't that brought these paintings out, do you think?
You know, I can say that I have some evidence about who was involved, but I really, you know, don't know what happened to these paintings. And so, you know, my gut feeling, though, when I look at this evidence is that the thieves stole the art and then lost control of it. The issue is complicated by the fact that David Turner, one of the gangsters who I believe robbed the museum, appears to have killed many of the people who were involved. And so perhaps within that circle is where the knowledge of these paintings are. But that being said, I think that we should hope that these paintings are going to be returned. And I do believe that the paintings will come back. Because in art theft, I mean, hope does spring eternal for very good reason. It often takes years, decades, for paintings to come back.
Ulrich Boser, thanks very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You can see some images of those stolen paintings at studio360.org.